Welcome and thank you so much for coming. Now, before we dive right on in, this time is going to go quick. There is someone very important that I want you to meet. And this is him. It's Obi-Wan Squirrel Nobi. This right here is my buddy. And he and I, we get to hang out every morning. And he is so bold, and he loves me so much. He comes right up to the back door. My husband has told me this has happened several times when I'm not home. Squirrel Nobi will come up to the back door and slap his tail on the glass. Because he knows every morning when he comes to see me, he's gonna find his favorite snack, which is peanuts. He's really bougie, he does not like sunflower seeds. And for those who don't know the word bougie, that just means that he's just spoiled, he's rotten. So he comes, he won't eat sunflower seeds, but he loves his peanuts. And he comes every single morning to spend time with me and get his little peanut. He's not afraid of me, and he knows I'm always happy to see and be with him. And he's one of the best life coaches for this journey of faith I've ever had. Little Squirrel Nobi. So it's important for you guys to meet and keep Squirrel Nobi in mind, because I'm going to be sharing today on designing your life with joy. I'm also going to talk about daily success, ongoing success in the eyes of God. And I want you to remember that God is always happy to see and be with you. Look, even Squirrel Nobi, he's got the squirrel translation, because you are so, so loved. He's happy to see and be with you. And that's why I'm so excited to share this really good news with you today about how you too can design your life with joy. And I do hope that you know that I am prayerfully sharing with you. We have been praising, we've been worshiping today, and I am just talking to the Lord as I'm talking to you, because it's this praying without ceasing, and I'm so, so honored that he's allowed me to be here with you today. So let's dive right on in with some really good news. Designing a lifestyle of joy is a skill. And any skill can be learned, practiced, and mastered. I'm a spiritual martial artist. I'm also an actual martial artist. I've studied boxing for 3 years, and both my sons are martial artists as well. So I always teach with that in mind, spiritual martial arts. And one of my favorite things that my boxing coach taught me, he said, "Junie, you're thinking too much. You can't think your way through a fight. It needs to be instinct." So what you are practicing is going to become instinct. It's a lifestyle and a skill. It can be learned, practiced, and mastered. And God really wants you to get this, because it's so important. Why is it important? Because we're practicing for heaven. Yes. As C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven. You can read about that in Letters to Malcolm. Joy is the serious business of heaven. And that's why I'm so excited to share this with you today. And this is a workshop, so we're going to spend some time talking today, and we're going to talk first about defining the term. On your first step one of your handout, you will see this blank. What is your, how do you define joy, is the first blank. How do you define joy? And I'm gonna give you just a couple minutes to think about this, okay? Because it's really important. Please write down, answer to this question, how do you define joy? I'll give you just a couple minutes. All right, sisters, you look like you recognize that hymn. You recognize that hymn? That's a cinematic version of Nearer, My God, to Thee. Everything's cinematic with me, but all right. So let's talk about it for just a little bit. How do you define joy? Anybody want to share what you wrote down? Oh yes.
By looking around you.
I like that. All right.
Jesus first, others second.
I choose joy today. I choose joy. All right, thank you. Yeah, these are all really, really great components of joy. But you know what? A lot of times, and I like the way Alicia spent some time on this, the culture would say, what would our culture say joy is?
And happiness.
Happiness and?
Well, instant gratification.
Instant gratification. Who said wealth? Our culture has all these ideas about what joy is, but today, as sisters in the Lord, we're going to celebrate God's definition of joy and make sure that we have it down, because in design thinking, you have to know specifically what you're designing for. So we're going to talk about God's definition of joy next here. These scriptures are also on your handout, so they're really easy for you to find there, and I have decided to just lay it all out for us here. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking of righteousness, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:8. This is one of my favorites, and we've already mentioned this just a little bit in our time today. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, fix your mind on these things. And of course, bonus for later, verse 9. Whenever I have a bonus, that means please meditate on it when you get home. And I remember the first time I ever read this scripture right here was a very important time for me. I was in the 11th grade the first time I read this, and I was just like, game on, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to try this and make my life an experiment in joy. So let's see. The next verse we're going to talk about here is Luke 10:27. Oh, yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Look at that. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then John 17:13, I'm coming to you now. But I say these things while I'm still in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. This is Jesus' prayer for you and for me. Look at that. And then Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer. I like that word, the pioneer, because I'm an adventurer, you know, boldly going where no one's gone before. But the pioneer, the author, and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Wow, God's definition of joy is so beautiful. I talked about Philippians 4, 8, and 9 and how I decided to make an experiment of my life on that passage. But John 15, wow. I also counted how many times he talks about love in this chapter. It is 8 times in this chapter. He just keeps repeating love, and he makes like this love, joy sandwich all throughout the chapter. He's like, love, joy, love, all throughout the chapter. Because as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as my Father's, I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then I have there, it is well with my soul. And this word here, joy, I love doing the ancient word studies, and I didn't want to, you know, get too deep into it. I had to dial myself back. But the word that he uses here is cheerfulness, calm, delight, and gladness. And what is God? We're delighted to be with God, and he's delighted to be with us. This is God's definition of joy. And he wants us to be complete in him. We've also talked about that. So Jesus says, I've told you this. And when he says, I've told you this, think about it this way. Everything Jesus taught and everything he revealed to the disciples, everything that he told them and taught them and tells us is so that his joy would be in us and our joy would be made complete. And his command is this, love each other as I have loved you. We're to overflow that love for God to one another. And this is all about the process. Here in our culture, in the United States, we're always thinking about the end results. I'll be happy if I fill in the blank. I'll be happy if I get fill in the blank. We're always talking about the end result, the outcome. But sisters, this is about the journey. And God's design with you in mind is that we would be complete in Christ. And I have some focus scriptures here that you can refer to after this event. I sure hope that you will. The process is the journey you and I are being made complete in his joy. So please hold on to that. Those of you who listen to me on the radio, you hear me say all the time, thanks for sharing the journey, because it's all about the journey, the fullness and completion we find in Christ. And I was thinking about this because I was researching. I do a lot of research. I am a researcher. I teach the science of human behavior out of the Stanford Behavior Design Lab. And so I love to research. And so I did a lot of research on joy in the Old Testament, from the Old Testament, from John, the kind of joy that we're talking about in John 15. There are 39 mentions similar from Genesis to Joel about a certain kind of joy. But there's only 3 mentions of the kind of joy that Jesus is talking about in John 15. In the original language, the joy that's mentioned the most is some of the things we've described. That happiness, that good cheer, that rejoicing. That's what we see the most. But in the New Testament, Jesus starts teaching, we get the kind of joy that is all about our completion in Christ. And so that's where I want us to land and nestle up our lives in. God's definition of joy It's all about overflowing love. It's a pervasive, constant, unending source of well-being. It's anchored in hope and love, and it flows from our completion in Him. Because in Christ, we lack nothing. And regardless of what we're going through, it is well with our souls. It is well with our souls. So I know some of you are taking some pictures. I'm gonna let you have time for that. It's well with our souls. It's good news, very good news. So we're here today because you all are committed. You wanna design this life of joy. And I'm gonna share with you one of my favorite methods that we teach out of the Behavior Design Lab. It's called Tiny Habits. And it's going to help you to weave these moments of joy into your life. And it's going to help you to continually level up your skills. I'm also a video game. I play video games with my husband every night. We met in the 10th grade, and we've been together like since the dinosaurs roamed the earth. And we still play video games every single night, just like we did when we were 15 years old. So when I say level up, I'm talking about video games. You're leveling up in this skill so you can master it and always beat the boss. And all my gamers know what I'm talking about. So we're gonna design some tiny habits for joy today. And these are some very simple steps. I want you to go ahead and turn your page. We're gonna look at step two of your master plan. Now at the top of this page is a very important sentence. Goals don't work, okay? But systems do. Goals don't work, but systems do. So I'm gonna teach you one of my favorite systems because God is a systems guy.
All right.
Look at nature, everything's systematic. Little squirrel Obi, he knows where to find his food, right? Look, we're in springtime now. God is a systems guy, and I teach behavior design because the science has proven human behavior is not random or unpredictable, it is systematic.
Amen.
How many people do you know that do the same things over and over and over again? It's systematic. And once you understand the system, you can design successful strategies to accomplish any aspiration or objective for good.
Amen.
Forever. So remember that, you can do this. It's a skill to be mastered like any other martial art. And that's what we're gonna be doing today. And we're gonna talk about God's definition of success here. I cannot skip this because we have a culture obsessed with success, right? But God's definition of success is love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Overflowing your love for God at every opportunity. That's true success.
Yes.
And I have done a lot of things, but you and I have the same calling.
Yes.
That's it. The call is the same, but the assignments are different.
Right.
So we can always succeed in God's eyes if we remember what true success is. So today, I know that you all are the type of women that want to design with joy, and I have a feeling that many of you understand the power and the gift of the journey. And so I wanted to spend a second here to let you know that when the journey and the destination converge in Christ, we enter into His joy. And that's the abiding life. We're on a linear timeline. God is not. This moment is where we can find and design for joy. That's the abiding life. Right there. So here we go with these tiny habits for joy. And if you look at this first blank on your second page, we're talking about what we call in the science the identity shift. Now God would call the identity shift, what do you think? What do you think God would call the identity shift? Anybody got a guess?
Transformation.
Sanctification. That's what God would call it. It's just another word. So you're looking at this, your identity shift. You are becoming the type of person who is in the habit of living with joy, even when life gets tough, ridiculous, or overwhelming. You ever been in a situation you're like, this is ridiculous,
yeah.
Right? You are becoming the type of person who can always live with joy. Your identity shift. You are a woman of faith who knows how to find her way back to joy. That's your identity shift. And so we're gonna look at this next blank. I'll give you some time on that on this one though, about your identity shift, just in case someone didn't have a chance to write that down. But we're gonna look at the next blank on your handout. We're gonna get even tinier. The science of behavior design I teach is because it's also the science of love, and in the science of love, it's all about the tiny, incremental things that accumulate. And so we're going to make it even tinier, and we're going to make it specific. We're going to talk about some very practical ways that you can design your way to joy, okay? So If you're asking, how is this done? How can you specifically and simply find your way back to joy? I have a question for you. What tiny, specific behavior brings you back to joy? What tiny, specific behavior brings you back to joy? And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes with this one because I really want you to, just inspired by some of these things here, these are some of mine. I have so many. I did write a book on this. But what specific thing brings you back to joy? And I'll give you some time to prayerfully choose. And it's not about quantity, it's about quality. What's that specific thing for you? Stepping outside, joy playlist, talking to your squirrel, brings you back to joy. Take some time with that. All right, sisters. All right, who wants to share? What's something that brings you back to joy? Oh, yes! When you get good at this, you'll have too many to count. What's one of yours? Laughing, spending time with the Lord and flowers. Oh, I love that. I say this all the time on my show. God invented fun, and he loves to see you smile. You're his beloved child. Yes, laugh it up. Have at least one L-O-L-I-R-L every day. One laugh out loud in real life every day. He loves to see you smile. Thank you for that. What else? What brings you back to joy? What specific things? Swimming!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, my big sis loves to swim too. I just struggle with that. That's great. Yes. What else? What brings you back to joy? Taking a walk, looking at the clouds in the sky, looking at God's artwork. Whenever I do that and I get quiet, maybe you've heard this, I said, wow, Lord, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Have you heard him say, I knew you'd notice? Don't miss it.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
miss it.
Yes.
Who else? What tiny but mighty thing brings you back to joy?
Yes.
Dynamic movement and breath work, yes. So important. I am a complex trauma PTSD survivor, and breathing, wow, has saved my mind. Breathe, dynamic movement, and breathe. You like to dance?
Yes.
Because oh, yes. we're gonna wrap with a little dance party. I used to teach when I was teaching my kids at Codeverse. Every time we had a successful line of code, we would have a dance party. Anybody else? What brings you back to joy?
There's a picture in my hallway of my family at my last birthday party. We're all dressed in white and we're on the toilet.
Oh, love it. Look at that.
Praise and worship.
Yes, oh my gosh, it's supernatural, it's a miracle. These tiny but mighty things, Philippians 4:8, living brings us back to joy and helps us to know that we are never alone and God is with us. These are the tiny but mighty moments that accumulate into an abiding life of joy, anchored in the love of God. These are the moments they accumulate into that abiding life. Because you know what, sisters? When we meditate on what is good,
yes.
Who are we meditating on?
God.
Because the source of all that's good. I had a conversation with my older son on the way to work yesterday. He said, Mom, I don't understand how people are so mad at God when things go wrong, but they don't even think about it when things are going right.
Yes.
And I was like, that's right, honey. There's more good in this world than evil if we are looking for it, if we dare to believe and meditate on our Lord. You're glorifying God, and all good glorifies God. Even if the person doing the good doesn't have the sense to know it, they are glorifying God. Because if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. And sisters,
yes.
And nobody gonna outpraise me, right?
That's right?
Or you. You got this. That incremental growth in the Lord is the abiding life of joy. So this is what we need to do. Having this concrete one thing, and you're going to, I pray, hope and pray, you will practice, because this is a martial art, this is a skill, your tiny habits for joy. And so we're going to learn now about habit creation. What's really cool about this is that once you know it, you can reverse engineer any habit out of your life that you don't want. I can promise you that. I had a sugar addiction after my mom died in 2015, gained 14 pounds. I used the science of behavior design to reverse engineer that out of my life, and I stopped the sugar addiction in 6 weeks. You can do this because God is systematic, and once you know the system, you can design for success in every area of life. Sure.
So are you the person that is one of the examples in the Tiny Habits book?
Yes.
Your edition thing?
Chapter 7, that's me.
That's you.
Yes, my mentor at Stanford was so moved by what I did with the science, he put it in his book. Cool. Yeah, so if you've read Tiny Habits by Dr. B.J. Fogg, he's my mentor at Stanford, and yeah, he wrote a whole chapter about me. But yeah, the science works because God is systematic. That's why it works. And the science of all sciences is love, right? So you can do this, sisters. You can do this. So we're going to talk about creating your first tiny habit for joy. And it's as easy as ABC. You're going to start with your anchor moment. You'll see this also on the handout there. You're going to finish with that tiny behavior, one of them that you chose for what brings you back to joy. And then in a second, we're going to talk about celebration. Now, there's a couple of blanks above those three. Creating new habits is as easy as ABC. You see those two blanks?
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's as easy as ABC is because the science has shown, the brain science has shown, it's emotions that create our habits. Emotions create our habits. At the root of every habit is an emotion. You get with God about the emotion, the root, and He will reveal to you the root and the source. When my mother died, the root, grief. Baskin-Robbins wasn't helping me, but I was telling myself it was. I mean, I would go in the wintertime. I love the bubblegum flavor, and I would come in and I would say, I know you have some in the back. It was bad. Emotions create habits. So every habit you have, for good or for bad, is at the root of that is an emotion. And that is so important because your mind and emotions are gifts. They are doing exactly what God designed them to do for you. Our digestive system digests our food. Our cardiovascular system pumps our blood. Our respiratory system, we breathe, right? Our mind and emotions are gifts from God, doing exactly what He designed them to do. They alert you to an area of your life or your soul that's calling or crying out for your compassionate, loving care and attention. And when you stuff it, you get sick. You've got to get with God about the root. And as you get with God about the root, this is about contemplation, not condemnation. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm angry. Lord, I'm ashamed. God says, come draw near to me. Let's explore this together so I can bring you into my healing love. Get with God about the root. And don't stuff it because it will make you sick. So remember, your mind and emotions are gifts as you do this work. And God wants you to be well. So that's why you're going to be designing your tiny habits for joy. Now, if you look here, we've got after I is your anchor moment. Now, this can be anything in your existing routine. Okay? So think about your existing routine. For example, after I wake up in the morning, after I brush my teeth, your mind and emotions are a gift. After I feel angry, after I feel afraid, after I feel ashamed, after I feel overwhelmed, that can be an anchor. The feeling can be an anchor. That's what it was for me when I miss my mom. After I feel sad, follow that with a tiny behavior. And then you're going to follow with a tiny celebration. So you've got your first blank. After I, pick anything in your existing routine, and it has to be something in your existing routine. For scripture memorization, I used to do after I sit down in my car, I will recite my verse. Then I will celebrate. We're going to talk about celebrate in just a second. So right after I, your anchor moment, if you can't think of it today, it's okay. You got time. You got plenty of time. You're going to be able to master this art, but you have to do the practice. Then you're going to follow that with a tiny celebration, and you always need to remember the tiny celebration. And this science is proven. Does anybody watch sports? I'm sports impaired. All right, yes, okay, yeah. People who listen to the station know I'm sports impaired. I used to go sports, I used to say in the mornings. Yeah, it's rough in Chicago. But this is why, you like sports too?
No, I had a question about what you said,
after any behavior, after I, that's your anchor moment. Any behavior that's already a part of your existing routine. It can also be a feeling because your emotions create your habits. Anything in your existing routine, after I brush my teeth, after I walk into my house, after I see my child, after I sit in my car, anything in your existing routine or any feeling that you have. That's how I unraveled the sugar addiction. The feeling of grief was the prompt. I felt it. I replaced Baskin-Robbins with journaling one thing about my mother. That's your tiny behavior. You've already chosen that from when we made it tiny, that thing that brings you back to joy. That's your tiny behavior. Put that one thing that brings you back to joy there, and you're just going to practice that one until you master it, and then that success momentum will help you to practice the next one. But you need to remember to celebrate, and here's why. So take a look with me here, because God's celebrating you. You're his beloved masterpiece. He's always happy to see and be with you. He's celebrating you, and I have these scriptures here for you to spend some more time in the Word. Ephesians 2:10, Zephaniah 3:17, Psalm 139:14. He's celebrating you. It's part of his system and design for human behavior. And when you skillfully celebrate, when you learn this, you'll start to master it, and your life will overflow with daily miracles. And we're going to take a look at how this is proof in a way that a lot of people understand. I love Simone Biles. But take a look at this. I want you to tell me, can you spot the tiny celebration? Wait, let's go back. I hope this noise doesn't distort too much.
A little bit of a foreshadowing of the uneven bar final that she'll be up against Nina Derweil. Jade Carey do it. It's called a Cheng.
Full twisting, double back. Watch her spot the ground with her eyes. Wow, what a start for Jade. Two events down, two to go. Wasn't even supposed to compete.
I paused it right there because you hear what she said? Wasn't even supposed to compete. That's the enemy, right? Who spotted the tiny celebrations? Simone Biles did it twice. Simone Biles did it twice. That's why she's a goat. She did it twice. This is God's design. Don't leave out your tiny celebration. It wires the habit into your mind. It encodes the habit into your mind. You cannot do this sport without doing the tiny celebration because you won't succeed. Why? Because it's God's design for human behavior. We are designed to celebrate. We move forward and we grow with tiny celebrations. Anyone who's ever spent time with a baby or a toddler or a child knows this. If your baby is a newborn, opens their eyes and you're like, ugh, you could have done that better. No! You go, oh my gosh, she opened her eyes, and then the baby poots and you take a picture and you post it to Instagram. We never grow out of the need for this. Celebrations are a human need. We never grow out of the need, and that's how we move forward, and that's how we succeed. Because when we celebrate, we produce the feeling of shine. That's what we call it at Stanford. It's the feeling of shine. It's a tiny but mighty good feeling of shine that encodes the habit into your brain, and it works every time. So when you know what tiny but mighty thing brings you back to joy, and you accumulate this whole catalog, you start designing your life with joy, and it will always succeed. I did this twice because you need to remember this. God is celebrating you. You're his beloved masterpiece. And a lot of times, you know what? This is important, because negativity is a habit. There's no blank for that, but please write that down. Negativity is a habit. It is learned, it is taught, it is practiced, it is mastered. And the person who's mastered that habit, you know when they show up. The whole room gets dark and heavy. Right? It's a habit. We change best by feeling good, not bad. And change is a skill, which is great news because any skill can be learned and mastered. We change best by feeling good, not bad. And that toxic negativity, that habit, sometimes we keep it going because it feels like home. But God says, abide in me. Your home is with him forever. So let's let that go so we can heal. So we can heal. So now we're going to move on to the next step three in this process. It's tiny time travel. We're going to create the feeling of shine. I have this quote here from my mentor at Stanford. You know this feeling already. You feel shine when you ace an exam. You feel shine when you give a great presentation and people clap at the end. You feel shine when you smell something delicious you cook for the first time. By skillfully celebrating, you create a feeling of shine, which in turn causes your brain to encode the new habit. Father, we want to live with joy. Help us encode this habit. How? By the Philippians 4:8 lifestyle. That's how it's done. And just in case anyone needed to see it again, there you go. Like I said, I first read this verse in high school. At the time, I grew up in a very, very abusive, neglectful home. I'm a first world poverty survivor. I was a homeless little girl, okay? I have pre-verbal trauma. I have second degree burns on my body from when I was 6 months old. But when I read this verse in the 11th grade, I said, Lord, challenge accepted. More video game terms. Challenge accepted. I'm gonna make an experiment of my life on this verse and John 15, Jeremiah 31:3. I could go on and on and on and on, and Job is my brother. We get to glory, you're gonna see me hanging out with him. I'm like, really, right, for real? But yes, you can build a life on this and it will always succeed. So now I want you to take a look at your handout called 100 Tiny Celebrations. this is so fun. Okay, and I want you to know that when I teach this to tech teams, when we teach this in behavior design, I also own a tech consulting company, we teach shine. We teach how to find your shine. So if you look at this 100 Tiny Celebrations handout, and I just want you to read through for a moment and pick out three that really speak to your heart and give you the feeling of shine. Just pick out three. All right, my sisters, let's share. What's a tiny celebration that gave you that feeling, that burst of shine? Who wants to share? What's one that you saw?
Yes. Take a walk.
Take a walk, yes.
First, it's just around your yard.
Yeah, same. I've gone out in the freezing cold before. I like to stargaze.
Sometimes you just snap out of where you're at.
Yes.
To just get a new mindset.
Yeah, and she snapped. That's a good way. Try it.
That's true.
You feel that tiny but mighty feeling of shine?
Yep.
It can be
right.
The tiniest little thing. God wired us this way. That's why it works. Who else? What brings you?
Mine are all talking to myself.
Oh, yes.
So mine is two on your list and third on my own list. Number two, say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
And then the other one you have at 38, God is good all the time.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Last one I say, and I do this as I walk around, and especially as I walk through airports, God loves everybody.
Yes. Amen. And talking to yourself. See, I'm always talking to God. If I'm not talking to a person, I'm talking to God. Earbuds are your friend. we're getting close. Thanks, Jude. Yes. Anybody else? Tiny celebration that caught your heart?
When I get up in the morning, I like coming downstairs, opening up the blinds, letting the light in, and then I turn off the alarm and I open the front door and look outside.
There you go.
It's just like,
all right, just look outside. There you go. Very nice. Tiny celebration.
I love getting on my face in the morning and singing to Jesus.
Oh, that's so great.
I feel like smiling at
me. He is smiling at you. Yes.
Tiny celebration that brought you the tiny but mighty feeling of shine.
Yeah, I say this with my students a lot. Throw your hands in the air and wave around.
So you guys get this. And it's never too tiny. Remember, like this. You know, so you can become the greatest of all time at living with joy. Don't ever leave out your tiny celebration. Find the ones that work best for you. When I was on the morning show, my co-host Carl, he used to do like this.
I do that.
And we call it starting a fire. He was creating shine. Because how many of you listen to the morning show? Okay, Carl is a super introvert.
No, he's not.
What? Super introvert.
No, there's no way.
The show's over, he is wiped out.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't mind me telling you this. But he used to start that fire, and that would give him everything he needed to get going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? Wow. So never leave out your tiny celebration. It encodes that habit into your brain. It's that important. So oh, you've got one, Daisy? Yes.
Sometimes I think of that song, Break My Stride. Like
break?
If I'm like running up a hill or doing something challenging, but that song is like, ain't nothing gonna break my stride.
Nice, very nice. I love that. You're speaking my language because this is at the top of my joy playlist right here. You guys know this one. Right? That's on my joy playlist. It's right on there with Torrin Wells and Justin Timberlake. It's in there. Right? Know what brings you that shine. Have that celebration and never leave out that celebration. And also, I put a bonus in there. It's a tiny meditation for you that's on the next page. But I want you to always remember, and every time you see a squirrel, remember Obi-Wan Squirrelnobi. He knows what to do. Show up to your Savior, your Lord, your King. Yes. He will provide for you, and he's always happy to see and be with you. You are his beloved child. And so master the art of tiny celebrations and shine. It's about contemplation, never about condemnation. And God wants to help you unravel. That's the language that we use. You've read Tiny Habits, so you know that whole chapter is about unraveling those bad habits. God wants to help you unravel so you can live your life with abiding joy, sisters. And I also want to leave you with this gift from my faith mentor. One of my main faith mentors, the late Dallas Willard. He was a philosopher and theologian. But he taught me that God, Jesus, does not want you to do what he said, but be as he was.
Yes.
Permeated with love. So that the doing of what he said and did becomes the natural expression of who you are in him. And that's how you design your way to joy. Thank you, sisters. We wrapped it up. I was like, Lord, how am I going to do this in 60 minutes? We did it, but we've got like 3 minutes left. Any
thoughts? Well, now you promised the dance party.
Oh, yes, we did our dance party, girl. Thank you.
No, I'm not, but I think it's a good idea.
It is a good idea. All right, this is Owl City, one of my favorite songs.
What is it?
Galaxies, Owl City. Come on up.
I don't know that.
You will now. Come on, sisters, get up. Come on, sisters. Listen to these words. Sisters, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having us.